When America finds out that Donald Trump has successfully recovered over $15 trillion from the banks of the 21 plus that was stolen from America, he's going to be the greatest president ever. Congress right now is 18% veteran, which means it's a bunch of dishonest old white people that have never been to war and don't understand what it means to go to war for the banks and against the public interest. First, making the point that the United States of America is funding the Israeli nuclear program, which is 10 times larger, if not 100 times larger, than the Iranian nuclear program. Okay? Israel's nuclear program is the real menace to the Middle East, not Iran's. Rule one in Washington is lie to the president if you can get away with it. Part of my mission in life is to put this kind of stuff out there so that somebody somewhere who talks to the president will say, Mr. President, are you aware that the Russians can incapacitate any U.S. naval vessel by shutting down its electronic systems?
There are three daily habits that are destroying your memories, and you will lose 10% of your brain by the age of 55 and 20% of your brain by the age of 75. It'll actually shrink if you do not do something about this. There is a free workshop that you can partake in where you'll learn what these three habits are, how to fix it, and how to regain your memories. There's a link below in the description on how to sign up. Be sure to sign up. It's free information. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I'm bringing back Robert David Steele. He has a lot of insight into what's going on geopolitically. He was the first one to tell me before the media, before anybody, that the Koreas were going to unite and there's going to be a unification of the two Koreas and a denuclearization of the region. And I wanted to talk to him about that and then other things that he knew. He has written some really good articles, which I'm going to have some links below, about the Middle East and about the dollar reset. He believes that the order in which these things need to be solved is the Koreas, the reset of the dollar, which will strengthen our position, and it'll weaken other people's position, which will allow us to take on the Middle East and to solve a lot of those problems there. Very interesting conversation about that and getting his insight on why he believes that. And then we also dive into other issues locally. How do we clean up our mess in our country? And his recent work with the Child Trafficking, International Commission on Child Trafficking and the INTJ and what's going on there. They've made huge progress in that area. And we did an extra segment for that's going to be aired on my Patreon. I'm going to make it public, so I'll have a link so you can go to my Patreon and everybody can see it there. I'm not sure if YouTube is going to allow it to stand, so I'm investigating some other ways to get it up there on my Patreon. So once that's available, I'll have a link here too as well to be able to get to that other segment I did with him. It's a preview of what they're finding during this commission in London and what they have planned for going on in July. I think that it's very important work. And again, it'll be up on my Patreon. And I want to tell everybody who supports me on Patreon, thank you very much. It is the reason why this channel is going. So let's get into my interview now with Robert David Steele. Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the program.
Professor Westall, glad to be with you.
Well, we haven't talked for a while, so I really wanted to get you back on the program. There's been a lot that has happened since we last talked. One of the things that you told me before anyone in the media talked about it is the unification between the Koreas. You visited Japan and met with the princess and learned a lot during that trip. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, there's two key points to be made. The first is that Benjamin Fulford, I'm a real fan of Benjamin Fulford's. I'm a subscriber to his weekly report. And while it may have some things in there that are a tiny bit fluffy, on balance, he's way ahead of the curve and completely different from the mainstream media. I would not have met the Japanese princess, who was the royal family liaison to North Korea, without Ben's introduction. I would not have met the head of two Asian crime families, the heads of two Asian crime families, without Ben's introduction. So going back to my original attempt to help CIA actually get a grip on overt human sources, the reality is there are human sources out there that know stuff that the mainstream media is not reporting. And when I came back and reported this, I had an article in the American Herald Tribune. 4 days after I reported this, Donald Trump's town crier, QAnon, came out on the 8th of March and said, yes, we're unifying the Koreas, okay? So that's point one. I owe it to Ben that I met the Japanese princess. And point two is the mainstream media is so adamantly opposed to recognizing any possible success by President Trump that they're simply lying to the American public, not only lying by commission, saying false things, but also lying by omission. They're not going to report any success on his part. Now, you have to give General Secretary Xi Jinping credit, because it was Xi Jinping who set this up. Xi Jinping said to Korea, you agree to unify, you agree to denuclearize, I will take care of you. And in fact, several weeks later, the Japanese princess called me up again and said, you need to make an article that tells people that the way in which Xi Jinping just treated North Korean leader Kim in Beijing, like royalty, was a strong message. It was a message to Kim that this is the benefit he is going to get if he goes forward with unification. And it was a message to Donald Trump, this is how you need to treat Kim when you meet him in Singapore, with respect. Okay. The other thing I would say is that having set the stage, Xi Jinping would never have succeeded if Donald Trump, against the advice of all of his staff, including Secretary of Defense Mattis, said, I will pull the American military out of Korea if you denuclearize and the unification is successful. That decision was made by Donald Trump against the advice of everybody working for him. So Trump is a wild card. He's actually playing at the presidential level in a manner I have never seen before. Maybe Kennedy is the last example. Reagan did some things, but generally Reagan was operating as a figurehead for his staff. Trump is an outlier, and that's a great thing.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East, because he's doing some really great stuff in the Koreas, but that doesn't necessarily translate into the full-blown geopolitical arena. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of things in the Middle East that makes me nervous. You know, selling the huge arms deal to Saudi Arabia, the buildup of troops, you know, in Jordan and around Jordan, what we're doing with Iran and Syria. So what is the deal there?
Well, in the article that I wrote, which you can link to, it's been published in the Russian International Affairs Council, which is fairly significant. The title is Koreas Unite, Denuclearize Middle East Next, After a Global Financial Reset, Ideas for Iran. And I make three basic points in that article. The first being that Donald Trump may be playing for time with Iran because he needs to do the global financial reset. The biggest benefit to Donald Trump's pulling out of Iran is that Goldman Sachs gets to recover some of its losses from its bad bets on the price of oil. Donald Trump's illegal, by the way, in violation of every treaty and agreement that is in existence. His withdrawal, his unilateral, compulsive, impetuous withdrawal from Iran has basically pumped the price of oil. That's going to wipe out the tax benefits that middle-class America got from Trump's tax plan. Okay? I'm not sure anyone explained this to him, because he basically shot himself in the head with his base by doing this. And his base, of course, hates the Zionists, respects Iran to the extent that they understand it, and they absolutely want Donald Trump and the American troops out of Syria. So this did not play well with the base, and in fact, I'm hearing more and more from the base is, do we need a plan B? I don't think we need a plan B. I think Donald Trump knows exactly what he's doing, but this misstep in Iran is going to cost him. Now, the global financial reset, as I've been told, includes glorious successes. And this may be part of Trump's genius, is he's willing to take a hit at the operational level, knowing that he's going to recover at the strategic level. When America finds out that Donald Trump has successfully recovered over $15 trillion from the banks of the 21 plus that was stolen from America, he's going to be the greatest president ever. I mean, I think he's going to romp to victory in both the House and the Senate. I think there are at least five Democratic Senate seats that will switch to Republicans or independents. And I think that there are perhaps 50 House seats that we can take away from both the Democrats and the Republicans to put in veterans. Congress right now is 18% veteran, which means it's a bunch of dishonest old white people that have never been to war and don't understand what it means to go to war for the banks and against the public interest. So there are some good things here. The gold-backed U.S. dollar is still under the table, hasn't been brought out. The nationalization of the Federal Reserve is still under the table. It hasn't been brought out. I don't think you'll see the elimination of the income tax until the second term, but it's certainly something that Donald Trump can run on for 2020. Bottom line for me is that I believe he will consolidate his success in the Koreas and easily be eligible for a Nobel Peace Prize. I was the first to say that, just as I was the first to say in August of 2015 in Counterpunch that Trump could win. So he needs to consolidate the Koreas. He needs to execute the global reset. And one of the things that I'm hearing, I've got two billionaires now that are talking to me, that have been attracted to me because of the interviews with people like you and Victoris Libertas and Greg Hunter and Hagman and Hagman and Common Sense Show and Caravan to Midnight. My voice has been heard. And what they're telling me is that there's a group of billionaires, white hat billionaires, that are going to go to Donald Trump sometime in the next 2 weeks and say, we will pay for the wall. It will not cost the U.S. taxpayer a penny. Now, I personally am opposed to the wall. I think E-Verify needs to be enforced 100%. You should not be able to get a job, rent a house, or buy food in the United States of America if you are an illegal immigrant. This is easy and simple to do by extending E-Verify to not only all businesses, but all landlords and all food stores. Okay, very simple. We're in the information age. So the wall is more of a cosmetic political gesture. It's a theatrical gesture. It's also offensive to many, many people as being inconsistent with the whole American vision.
Well, don't you think the wall also puts into your mind the Soviet Union's wall or the East Germany?
That's a very good point, Sarah. I certainly do not want a Berlin Wall on our southern border, particularly since our northern border is completely porous and Canada has been taken over by Asian crime gangs. So please spare me the hypocrisy. And oh, by the way, I'm a Latino. Okay? My mother was born in Colombia. My roots on her side go back to Barcelona in the 17th century in Spain. I'm a Latino. Most Latinos are legal. In fact, many Latinos were born of Latinos who I had a friend whose great grandfather had a conversation with him one day. And my friend who worked for the Customs Service said to him, when did you immigrate to America? He said, I didn't immigrate. They moved the border on me. The United States of America stole everything from the southern border to the Guadalupe Hidalgo line with a war based on lies. This is something the United States of America does a lot of. So most Latinos in the United States of America are completely legitimate, and they don't like illegal Latinos any more than your average white Christian American. Okay?
My husband's from Mexico, and he doesn't mind the wall, being honest, because he thinks that it's a really dangerous situation down there. And it's bad for the good people. It's bad for the bad guys. It's bad for everybody.
Yeah, but let's I agree with your husband in some respects, but let's unpack this a little bit. Number one, the primary reason we went into the NAFTA agreement was to make it easier for the U.S. government to smuggle drugs, gold, guns, and small children. NAFTA was about making legalized criminal networks more efficient at moving drugs into the United States. The people of color, as well as lower class Americans, are being used as a cash crop. We're basically using them to suck their lifeblood out by taking their $5 for crack cocaine, and we're killing them deliberately. as a profit center. Okay, that's totally unacceptable. The second comment I would make is that most illegals are not Latinos. They're now Asians and Arabs. And it is a real misservice to the American public and to the Latino community, particularly, to pretend that the wall is about shutting out Mexicans or shutting out Central Americans or Latin Americans. In the custom and the immigration service, we call them OTMs, other than Mexican. Okay? It's OTMs that are the problem, and it's illegal OTMs that are the problem, and it is very simple to shut that problem down. We also have the issue of the U.S. government under Obama flying in hundreds of thousands of Syrians and distributing them across America, and particularly into Indian reservations in Arizona, John McCain's state, and other places. So the hypocrisy and the lies and deception that characterize this discussion on immigration are completely unsatisfactory to me. Donald Trump has the right instincts. He has the wrong intelligence. And I don't believe the wall is the right solution, but I support the wall if that's what the president wants to do.
Well, let me ask you, let's get back to some of these big picture strategic stuff. North Korea's first, or the unification of the Koreas first, then the reset. Why the reset before taking care of the Middle East?
The single most pernicious influence in the United States of America is called Zionism. Now, I never set out to pick a fight with the Zionists. It was only after the Zionists attacked Cynthia McKinney and I and hashtag on rig six different ways in 90 days, an article that's very famous now worldwide. It's at tinyurl.com/Google Gestapo. It outlines the deep state system for censoring, manipulating, and digitally assassinating people like me who challenge the official narrative. When the Zionists came after me, I decided to do a federal lawsuit against one of the six elements, the one that was the most pernicious. The other five were one-time events, things like denial of service attacks, a media hit job that came out of Media Matters, which is run by David Brock, who himself has some very, very serious legal concerns coming forward in his life in the near future. Kaspersky. Labeling my website a pornographic website based on Zionist trolls, reporting us as a pornographic website. They fixed that. But I decided to take a deep interest in Zionism and the influence of Zionism on the U.S. economy, the U.S. government, and U.S. society. And I have written a number of articles on this, to include an article that's very famous worldwide now called Zionism in America, Seven Strikes and Counting. One of the strikes in that article points out that Benjamin Netanyahu, a man that I believe should die in jail, Benjamin Netanyahu is not only lying about everything having to do with the Iranian nuclear program and obscuring the fact that the Israeli nuclear program is 10 times larger and funded by the U.S. taxpayer, but he has also told the 9 million American Jews, progressive and reform Jews, to piss off. That they have no standing with the Zionist state of Israel, which, by the way, is an apartheid state. I'm friends with Richard Falk and Johann Galtung, and Richard Falk and I have talked about this. He was the UN special rapporteur for Palestine. Any state that says it is a Jewish state is, by definition, an apartheid state. And I want to give a shout out to this book, Enclosure, by Professor Gary Fields. I've reviewed this book in the American Herald Tribune. This book documents how the Zionists, in complete violation of the Balfour Declaration as well as the UN agreements, have essentially genocided 85 to 90% of the Palestinian people, either by killing them or by forcing them to become unemployed illegal immigrants in Europe, which itself was made possible by the Arabs bribing European leaders in the Barcelona Agreement in the late 1990s, saying, we want you to be our safety valve. We will bribe you, European leaders, if you will allow an unlimited flood of unemployed Muslim immigrants into Europe so we don't have to deal with them down here in North Africa and the Middle East. I mean, the mendacity of the European leaders, particularly including Angela Merkel and Macron, who should be indicted for treason in France. He probably did not win the election. It was probably a rigged election. Bottom line here is there's a lot going on, but the global financial reset is necessary to essentially cut the balls off the Zionist banking machine, starting with Goldman Sachs. And so letting Goldman Sachs make a little bit of money on an oil pump while Donald Trump pretends to be pulling out of the Iranian thing may actually be an extraordinarily clever move by the president. As I have said in writing many times, do not ever underestimate Donald Trump or Vladimir Putin or General Secretary Xi Jinping. These guys, I've called them the three amigos. I don't think the public has a clue, and certainly the media and the think tanks don't have a clue about the degree to which these three guys are talking behind the scenes to the point that the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense are out of the loop.
Well, the global reset, you're saying that there is a lot of the money that was stolen, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz and Professor Skidmore.
Yes.
Just two departments were finding over $21 trillion. Just, I don't know why the mass media is not 24-hour news.
The mass media is not covering this because the mass media is paid to not cover
this. It's ridiculous. If that's not enough evidence to show the mass media is just incompetent or even worse. Okay, but the bottom line is a lot of that is being recovered. Now,
I think so. And if you recover $21 trillion out of the $43 trillion total, you've just wiped out the U.S. national debt.
So now if that gets wiped out, we'll be in more of a power position to be able to deal with the Middle East because we're not that strong financially right now.
Well, yes, we're actually much stronger. We're much stronger, I believe. And in fact, let me pump another book, Our Towns, by James Fallows and his wife. James is a small aircraft pilot. He basically, over several years, flew a small plane on a 100,000-mile journey into what we call flyover country, which is really Trump country, okay? And what James found in this brilliant book, which I'm about to review, is that flyover country has written Washington off. And they're actually doing local things. There are cultural initiatives, economic initiatives, political initiatives at the local level in flyover country that are going to change the dynamic of America forever. And I think that includes the destruction of the Republican and the Democratic parties. We are going to move away from the enabling role that the two-party tyranny plays in allowing the deep state, the banks, to loot the United States of America. And Trump is going to be able to leverage this in 2018 and 2020 and beyond. However, what we don't have today is the alternative to hashtag Google Gestapo, which I define as the combination of Amazon and Facebook and Google and Meetup, which is deleting conservative and progressive Meetup accounts, all in violation of its commitments. And then, of course, you have Twitter and YouTube and Wikipedia. These are all corrupt organizations that are not adhering to Title VII anti-discrimination requirements. They are all subject to a massive class action lawsuit. And if I get funding, I'm planning to fund a legal summit of everyone who is already suing any one of these or who wants to sue one of these. And I'm planning to put 1 million people into a lawsuit against each of these elements in the aggregate. I'm also planning a technical summit to create a blockchain distributed mesh alternative, an ecology that allows Donald Trump and every member of Congress and every member of every state legislature and every candidate for office. I'm going to put a level playing field out there so that American voters can opt in, starting with 22 million veterans. And we are going to create a two-way truth channel in which, for example, Donald Trump can send out what we're calling a trumpet. He can send out a trumpet to 200 million people. He can poll 200 million people, something he could do today with Twitter, but he doesn't seem to know how to do polls. My friend John McAfee is getting 47,000 answers to simple one-question polls with four choices. Donald Trump could be getting 47 million answers to a poll with his existing Twitter account. But I want to bury Twitter. Twitter is a dishonest company that is on record as manipulating and burying 50% of the tweets critical of Hillary Clinton, 25% of the tweets about Podesta and pedophilia and so forth. So we're going to create an ecology that is encrypted value, encrypted voting and exchanges, encrypted tools, which the current information industry still does not want us to have. Howard Rheingold wrote a brilliant book called Tools for Thinking back in the 1980s. We still don't have that by design. Microsoft, Oracle, IBM, all of these people do not want the American people to be able to do critical thinking with computer-assisted tools. Okay? So we need to change that. And then the last one is encrypted information. You will be held accountable for publishing falsehoods or for misleading people, but you will never, ever, in my ecology, be censored.
Well, obviously, censorship has been a major issue because without the truth, we can't govern. We can't hold our leaders accountable.
It's not just censorship. It's manipulation and it's digital assassination.
Yes. But getting back to this reset again, why the reset before dealing with the Middle East in a meaningful way?
Because right now the Zionists have too much financial power.
And will we get that back?
Reset. You have to cut Netanyahu's balls off. And you do that by cutting Goldman Sachs' balls off. We've already got the Rothschilds in a box, as I'm being told. The Rothschilds and the Vatican, I'm told by two different sources, have accepted an exit strategy. This is critical. The Chabad supremacist cult that uses the Orthodox Jews as their useful idiots is still resisting. So the global financial reset is how you cut the balls off the Chabad supremacist Jews, whose most senior representative in the U.S. government is called Jared Kushner.
Okay, and just to make sure we set the stage, Zionism is not the same thing as Judaism.
That's correct, Sarah. And I'm the first voice to be truly heard on that, thanks to the alt-right media. And I was vastly amused to find that the Zionist Consul General in New York published an article a couple months ago in Newsweek, which, like the New York Times and Crap News Network and all others, has no integrity at all. And he published an article that said Zionism is another form of anti-Semitism. No, it is not. And the many articles that I've published on this point can be found easily at robertdavidsteele.com. But let me make just two points. Number one, Zionism is a deliberately subversive network that seeks to undermine economies, governments, and societies. Judaism is a religion. Zionists do not represent the 9 million loyal American Jews, most of whom are progressive and reform Jews. They don't like Netanyahu any more than I do. They don't like the genocide of the Palestinians any more than I do. The power of Zionism in the United States of America is based on blackmail and bribery. It is not based on Jewish voters. 9 million Jewish voters against 200 million eligible voters, 100 million of whom vote, is a drop in the bucket. Zionism is the scourge that needs to be eliminated in the United States of America. And one of the principal points that I make to Iran, which I just turned down an invitation to be the keynote speaker at a conference in Iran, which in fact started today. But I did contribute an article called Eradicating Zionism with Truth, a Plan for Peace and Prosperity for All. And here's the bottom line, Sarah. It is not possible for Iran to defeat Israel and Saudi Arabia financially, militarily, diplomatically, or culturally, as long as the United States of America continues to support the Zionist occupation of Syria, the Zionist theft of water from Jordan, and so forth. So my bottom line is there are seven different things. Here, I'm a Marine. I got to remember the other hand. Seven different things that Iran and Russia and Turkey and Egypt, which is rising now in power, all have to bring up with President Trump and President Putin. I make the point in my latest article that if Xi set the stage for the unification of the Koreas, Putin must set the stage for the stabilization of the Middle East. And I think he can do that. And one of the problems I have is that everybody in the United States shadow government is telling Trump he can't meet Trump. If I were president, I would tell them to piss off, and Putin would be a priority meeting for me immediately after I met with Kim. I would also meet with Rouhani. You know, when I was a clandestine case officer, I was extremely successful. I had five times the recruiting average and five times the TDFIRs, the intelligence reports of the average in my division, the Latin American division. And one of my greatest paths to success was to always ask the enemy of my enemy. When I wanted to penetrate the Colombians, I'd work with the Panamanians. When I wanted to penetrate the Panamanians, I'd work with the Colombians, all right? Donald Trump needs to have a direct personal relationship with Rouhani. He needs to be able to hear directly from Iran. All right? And let me make a point, because I have a very high regard for the Iranian task force at the CIA. The guys and gals in the clandestine service focused on Iran are as good as we can get, and they have the right intentions, but they're trapped in a bad system. When the United States of America decided to go to war in Vietnam, my colleagues at the CIA knew that Ho Chi Minh was a nationalist, not a communist. They knew that we were going to war based on lies. My colleagues at the CIA and the Iranian task force know with absolute certainty that Netanyahu is lying, but they can't get that intelligence to President Donald Trump because there are political literally keeping Donald Trump from hearing the truth from my beloved colleagues in the Iranian task force and the clandestine service of the United States of America. That pisses me off.
Well, yeah, he needs to be able to get the good information. Now, Netanyahu, from what I understand, not only the American Jews are pushing back, but in his own country, there has been a lot of uprisings. It's not covered in our media. A lot of uprisings and protests against Netanyahu, and he's at doesn't have a very good power base right now.
Well, unfortunately, he has a power base rooted in his ability to suck money out of the United States. The American taxpayer is providing over $30,000 for every single man, woman, and child in Israel at the same time that we have desperate inner cities problems. Black people in the inner cities and desperately poor white people in the rural areas, Texas, for example, where the water is going away. We're going to have a water catastrophe in the entire Southwest sometime in the next 2 years. It's going to be a political issue.
Yeah, why give all that money to another country when we have the needs here?
It's even worse than that. The AIPAC and ADL, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee and the Anti-Defamation League, which is the Zionist secret police, they are both agents of a foreign power that have escaped registration. John F. Kennedy was assassinated in part because AIPAC and the ADL were angry that Kennedy was going to require that they register as agents of a foreign power. Okay? The Zionists were not the principal perpetrators of the Kennedy assassination. That was on Allen Dulles and J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Baines Johnson. And I had a wonderful dinner with Roger Stone, who's written a book about the Kennedy assassination. One of the things Roger told me was that there were nine different parties to the assassination of JFK, and each one of them had their own shooter because they didn't trust all the others. Okay. And Roger's gift was to identify with fingerprints of the whole nine yards LBJ's shooter. Okay. But the Zionists had Yashik Rabin and Arnon Milshon, who is still alive and in New York and has a lot to answer for with respect to Hollywood pedophilia, nuclear triggers, and banking fraud. In my personal opinion, I am alleging this. I think he needs to be properly investigated if he doesn't emigrate back to Israel sooner. So the Zionists are the real ointment here. And the point I was going to make is that the AIPAC and ADL are sucking billions and billions of dollars out of the American taxpayer through over 10 to 20,000 different nonprofits, including nonprofits that are allegedly, you know, friends of animals with one foot in Omaha, Nebraska. Okay, so they've created this extraordinary complex of nonprofit feeders for money for Israel. And it's basically what in the Marine Corps we would call a sucking chest wound. So if Donald Trump, after he does the global reset, wants to really get a grip on Zionism, he will do two things. Number one, he will declare that AIPAC and ADL are agents of a foreign power and will be treated appropriately in the United States of America. And the second thing that he will do is offer every incumbent member of Congress a presidential pardon contingent on their doing a complete debriefing with a special presidential task force on who's been bribing them over what. And that will flush out all of the people being bribed by the Mossad, the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA as complicit secondary partners, and every single person that's been entrapped by Mossad officer Jeffrey Epstein and Mossad officer Ghislaine Maxwell, who is the daughter of Robert Maxwell, the most famous Israeli spy in the United States of America. This is all simple stuff.
Well, we have to get to the bribers. We have to get to the people who are doing the blackmail.
I agree completely. And let me really emphasize, I'm a huge truth and reconciliation guy, to include reconciliation with AIPAC and ADL. All I want them to do is accept the reality that they must operate as agents of a foreign power, because that is what they are. Once they do that, clean sheet for me.
Okay. I'm not sure if I think some of the crimes that they're doing are so evil that we have to figure out how to get rid of some of those people and figure out who those blackmailers are. You know, when you're dealing with children and the abuse issues, we have to, for our society.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because I am not only a commissioner, but also the chief counsel for the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Human Trafficking and Child Sex Abuse. And we just finished up our hearings in London in mid-April, and we're coming to the United States in July. And I absolutely guarantee you, our hearings in July are going to be explosive. I will tell you right now that subject to witness validation, which we have a very rigorous process that includes polygraphs and private investigators and defamation lawyers, subject to witness validation, we are looking at a top Hollywood star who is believed to be child friendly, a Mormon bishop close to Mitt Romney, and a billionaire who is literally killing children every time he has sex with them. So there's some real opportunity here to explode America's mind. And I have to give a shout out to people like David Siemens and Liz Crokin, Jordan Sather, and others who have done a good job of looking at Pizzagate and using Pizzagate to help the American public understand that these horrible, horrible things are actually real. Nobody has wanted to believe this. Well, I have an overview coming out, which is part of this magazine that reports on our London hearings. There will also be a magnificent video collage of the hearings, which are extremely compelling, to include organ trafficking. That's the other thing we'll be covering in our hearings in the U.S., is the combination of elderly human trafficking monetization, particularly in Florida, and organ trafficking in the United States, to include doctors who declare someone brain dead when they're actually not, so that the organs can be harvested. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. But in my overview, among the highlights that I point out is we're not only seeing a very deliberate push of pedophilia materials toward first responders, law enforcement, and firemen. I mean, do you want a pedophile coming into your house to save your child? This is a real problem. And they're doing that to basically get people to turn a blind eye, because there are 18,000 police jurisdictions in the United States led by the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, which has the pedophilia symbol on its badge, who are all required to turn a blind eye to pedophilia in the United States of America. And pedophilia is the wrong term. There is no love in what's being done to children here. So the commission has agreed that we're going to call them pedopredators, pedocriminals, and pedosexuals. The other thing that we're noticing is a horrible combination of the abuse of toddlers who cannot speak. The pedophiles are getting very worried about children who can speak, testifying against them. They're actually moving down the age bracket toward newborn babies, if you can believe this. We're also seeing more and more videos of war dogs raping toddlers. This may be coming out of Afghanistan, where our Marines and Army had nothing better to do And I'm very, very concerned that there is a U.S. military aspect to this combination of war dogs and toddlers in the pedophile circuit. And the third thing that we're starting to see is that there is just, fetuses. We're getting more and more witnesses coming forward with respect to the sale of fetuses. And Planned Parenthood should obviously be investigated on this point, as well as elements of the Catholic Church that are taking babies fresh out of unwed mothers. The sale of fetuses appears to be booming.
Now, wouldn't you say, because it's so destructive to our society, that we have to get these people out of our, they cannot keep having this kind of influence. It's rotting us from the base.
It is rotting us, and I'm privileged to work with some very, very fine people. And one of the points that's been made by one of them is that every pedophile will do roughly 100 to 200 children over the course of their sexual history. And of those 100 to 200 children, 10% become pedophiles themselves. So this is like an epidemic. It's actually spreading virally. Again, I'm huge on truth and reconciliation. And a lot of this goes back to the very deliberate destruction of family values and community values. And I run all this back to John F. Kennedy. When John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and there's a good article on this at phibetaiota.net, Hollywood and the mainstream media were essentially captured, and an effort was made to use television as a substitute for the church and for community. And there's this huge insidious campaign to basically brainwash American people into being isolated from one another, into being absorbed with the crap that we show on TV today. I mean, I scan the channels every once in a while, and I have to ask you, what kind of country has an entire channel dedicated to people who weigh 600 pounds? My 600-pound
I didn't even know that existed.
It exists. It exists. And it's one of the channels that I see as I'm flipping through between Fox News and a few other things. I mean, what kind of country devotes an entire television channel to 600-pound people who should probably be given exit options? So we have destroyed the family. One of the things we find is that the pedophiles go after children from broken homes. They go after children with single moms. They go after children in foster homes. Roughly 25% of all U.S. children have had at least one sexual attack done on them. And in foster homes and such, it climbs up to 50% and more. And in England, we had two police officers, one of them a commissioner, testify. And the police officer who the Scotland Yard tried to destroy was basically saying that in the United Kingdom, you're not allowed to investigate child molestation and child sexuality. And in fact, he went around to foster homes and found that all the children would vanish on the weekends and nobody cared. The children were actually out prostituting themselves. But he wasn't allowed to investigate that. In fact, they tried to take away his pension and put him in jail for investigating that. Same thing is happening in the United States of America today. The bottom line is, in the United States of America and in the United Kingdom, if you persist in investigating a child abuse, your career is over.
Well, let me ask you, let's get into, I want to circle back to the dollar reset in the Middle East, okay? My question is, do we have enough time? Do you think that there'll be an explosion and of war or an escalation of violence in the Middle East before this whole reset happens?
The short answer is no, because I think that the Iranians are going to be as measured as the Russians were when Obama was disgracefully confrontational with the Russians. Obama should never have allowed John Brennan to lead all these lies. I mean, it's still one of my most popular publications on the soft coup led by John Brennan. This was a pack of lies about the Russians intervening in the election. In fact, I told Andrei Kortanov, who's the director general of the Russian International Affairs Council, I said, you know what? If I had been one of those Russians fumbling around with social media, I would be more worried about being shot by Putin than I would be about being convicted by the Americans, because that was childish crap that was done on the side. The only person that intervened in the U.S. election in a substantive way was Hillary Clinton when she stole 13 primaries from Bernie Sanders using electronic fraud, and then was stopped from repeating that against Donald Trump. So God bless America and praise the Lord. I think I've worked with Iranians in graduate school. They're smart. And I've been following Iran because one of the things, once I came to the conclusion that the Zionists were toxic, lying assholes, I started having more respect for Iran simply by contrast. And I've been watching Egypt and Turkey, and I'm starting to see what I think is going to be the rise of the Byzantine, the Ottoman, the Persian, and the Egyptian empires over the next 20 to 30 years. And that's going to be kicked off by free energy with water desalination, with unlimited water desalination. And then there's going to be a major internet revolution in which you essentially give every single person in the Middle East and North Africa a free cell phone and free internet access, and they educate themselves one cell call at a time, which was the whole point of the nonprofit that I created, Earth Intelligence Network, in 2006. So my short answer is I believe the Iranians are going to be smart enough to not let the Israelis start World War III. And the Saudis, I want to emphasize, we gave the Saudis an NSA dump that allowed the Saudi leader to clean out a lot of the princes that were basically very heavily into the smuggling of gold, guns, cash, drugs, and small children. And what you saw in that purge in Saudi Arabia was, I think, the first of many purges that Donald Trump can initiate with countries around the world, starting with Germany and Australia. If you do a proper NSA dump into the right parties, you end up making it possible to clean out the people who've been bought and sold by the deep state. In France, Macron, and in Germany, Merkel, are easily qualified, in my view, for being removed from office by public outrage. And the problem is the public just doesn't know what it doesn't know. So I think that's going to change over the next few years. Now, let me also emphasize that Iran needs to bring up seven different issues after first making the point that the United States of America is funding the Israeli nuclear program, which is 10 times larger, if not 100 times larger, than the Iranian nuclear program. Okay? Israel's nuclear program is the real menace to the Middle East, not Iran's. And we really need to confront Netanyahu with all of his lies, including this latest absurd lie that Gareth Porter's done a fine job of dismissing. Israel is asking us to believe that they got all of the Iranian secrets out of a tin hut with no lock on the door in an unfenced storage neighborhood. I mean, Netanyahu is absolutely certain that Americans are all shiksas, which is code for Gentile girl that you can treat like a whore. And he thinks we're all stupid and that we're going to let him get away with this. And in the past, that may have been true. Not anymore. People like me are speaking out. Zionism is over.
Well, let me ask you, is Israel's goal World War III?
No. Israel's goal is to continue to suck at the American tit. And basically abuse the American economy, the American government, American society. Israel thinks that we are all non-human. Well, let me clarify that. The Zionists running Israel, the Shabbat supremacists running the Zionist part of banking that is out of control, they're all absolutely certain, based on their Talmudic doctrine, that we are non-human. We're animals. People need to understand that this is how they see us.
Well, do they also see everybody else in the Middle East the same way?
Yes, yes. I mean, Muslims are certainly animals to these particular Talmudic Zionists. That's not what Reform and American progressive Jews think. And let me go back. I want to list the seven things that I put in these last two articles. After Iran makes a very public denouncement of the Israeli nuclear program, and I've said in my articles that the center of gravity for defeating Zionism is in the hearts and minds of the American public. Iran needs to make its case to the American public. Russia needs to make its case to the American public. I mean, one of the things that I consider John Brennan a lightweight intellectually, because the entire CIA report about Russian interference was whining about what is one of the most mediocre public relations programs on the planet called Russia Today. I mean, the Russia Today boss in Washington doesn't even show up for work. Okay, so this is insanity. And the CIA report also said on page A13, our judgments are not based on evidence. I don't make this stuff up. Our judgments are not based on evidence.
That's crazy. Okay?
Yeah, it's in black and white. So here are the seven things that Iran and Russia need to ask Trump to discuss. And Trump is never going to get the truth from the Americans unless he talks to the Iranians directly at the presidential level. Donald Trump needs to meet Rouhani directly with Putin as the referee, if you will. Number one, peace between the Sunnis and the Shiites. That's now possible, because this last revolution in Saudi Arabia basically slammed the Wahhabists back into a small box. Number two, Jerusalem and perhaps Mecca as international cities. Israel and the United States are in grotesque violation of all past and present existing international agreements in invading Jerusalem in any way. Number three, restoration of Palestine. And this book here, Enclosure, and my review of this book, which lists the five lies and four thefts that this book documents in the Israeli Zionist genocide of the Palestinians, is one of the most important books of our time. This book will allow us to put Zionists back in a very small box, and that's good for humanity, and that's good for peace and prosperity in the Middle East. You cannot have peace in the Middle East without restoring the humanity and integrity of Palestine. Number four is creation of a Kurdish confederacy. The Zionists are arming the Kurds and inciting the Kurds against Turkey, against Iraq, and against Iran. That needs to stop immediately. So I believe that Iran, Iraq, and Turkey all need to have a conference and talk about how do you create a Kurdish confederation that still respects the national integrity, the borders, and so forth, but also respects Kurdish cultural autonomy. Because the Kurds are a nation. Like it or not, they are a nation. They're not a state. So there needs to be a boundary in there. And I think someone like Johann Galtung created peace between Ecuador and Peru. There was this disputed territory between the two countries. They've been fighting and killing each other for decades. He went and he said, hey, turn it into a national park that's co-administered. Boom. We had peace between Ecuador and Peru. This is the kind of stuff that Johann Galtung can accomplish. He's also the guy that's pointed out to China that they should have a six China's policy.
But if they can't see themselves as equals, that's the problem. They got to see themselves as being able to equally manage something. And one thinks they're better than the other. They got to get that out of their head.
Well, the United States of America and the misspent treasury of the United States of America and the misdirected national security policy of the United States of America, which is controlled in detail by the Zionists, is what allows one party to think that they're superior to everybody else. Once you have a global financial reset and you cut the balls off the Chabad supremacist Jews, and once you have a global financial reset and you stop funding Saudi dictators and Israel, that changes everything.
And I can go ahead.
Well, let me just say the last three items are number five, the repatriation of all unemployed Muslims from Europe and the United States back to Arabia, and reparations for Iraq. We owe Iraq over $1 trillion for everything we did, including the nuclear babies, the Fallujah babies, which are a crime against humanity on an extraordinary order. And depleted uranium should be outlawed by international law. Number six, creation of a post-Western, post-fossil fuel economy with unlimited desalinated water. And number seven, creation of a regional open source agency. I recommend it be based in Istanbul as nuclear territory, with information and engineering bureaus such that anytime anybody, especially Netanyahu, tells a lie, you simply publish the truth and it gets to everybody. All right. Now, these seven things that I have just listed are what you get when you do holistic analytics with true cost economics. Israel is like a really bad magician who's trying to get everybody to focus over here on the burning walnut, when in fact there's an elephant in the room over here. Okay? So all of the lies that Netanyahu told, lies which have been accepted by Donald Trump for reasons that only the president can understand. All of those lies need to be put to death. And at the same time, you need to make peace in the Middle East about much more than the illegal nuclear program of Israel and the legal nuclear program of Iran, which is fully compliant with the agreement. This is about much more than that. This is about actually dealing with all of these issues in a holistic manner, which is why I think Johann Galtung would be a marvelous moderator for a meeting between Trump, Putin, and Rouhani.
Okay, well, let me ask you, because without the reset, we need to take away their power.
Yes.
And Israel does not want World War III, but their actions could very well lead us to that.
They could, but the military power of the United States as well as the military of Israel are both seriously overstated. One of the things I don't know if people are telling Donald Trump the truth or not. I'm talking to senior people that talk to the Secretary of the Navy, past Secretaries of the Navy, and they're telling me that the Russians have figured out how to immobilize an entire U.S. carrier group. And in fact, there was a trial run in against the USS Cook. A single unarmed Russian plane flew in and completely incapacitated that ship. And it then did 12 simulated bombing runs. This is an unarmed electromagnetic warfare airplane. 27 people resigned the minute that the Cook got to port because they understood that the Russians can now defeat any U.S. naval vessel in our inventory. And in fact, someone has said that our carriers are nothing more than floating bathtubs now. So,
and don't you think that's a symptom of just having a corrupt, incompetent, I mean, when we're not competitive and we're not focused on things that are important, we can't have quality. Well, and that's just a symptom.
A bunch of different things. And let me just finish my point, which is I'm very, very concerned that people are lying to Donald Trump. They are withholding from Donald Trump the fact that we cannot beat the Russians. Now, I also want to make a very important point. The Russians and the Iranians both know that you cannot sink a U.S. aircraft carrier without starting a nuclear war. But what if you can turn out the lights on that aircraft carrier and it continues to float? This is the most extraordinarily asymmetric, clever response possible. You're not killing anyone. You're simply incapacitating all of the electrical systems on that ship. Because the Americans have been arrogant and incompetent about electromagnetic warfare and particularly emissions control and emissions buffering. So the Russians and the Iranians have figured out how to stop the U.S. Navy cold without sinking a ship, which would piss off the American public.
That makes sense.
This is brilliant. And I am worried that nobody is telling Donald Trump that this is what's going to happen if he mistakenly puts a U.S. carrier group into an attack formation. I think our president is being lied to. In fact, Morton Halperin wrote a great book called Bureaucracy and Foreign Politics. And in that book, he says, rule one in Washington is lie to the president if you can get away with it. Part of my mission in life is to put this kind of stuff out there so that somebody somewhere who talks to the president will say, Mr. President, are you aware that the Russians can incapacitate any U.S. naval vessel by shutting down its electronic systems? Donald Trump is probably going to say, holy shit, no one told me that. And then everyone's going to lie to Donald Trump and say, oh, Mr. President, that's bullshit. That's some conspiracy lunatic. That's something. Excuse me, I'm the only former spy in the world who's been recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize that is also the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction. 2,500 books across 98 categories. I am as smart as it gets, and I do not tell lies.
Aren't you sick of being called a conspiracy theorist just because you're out there? I mean, I tell you, I am.
Well,
it's like, come on.
Fortunately, only morons call me a conspiracy theorist. Now, that includes the Daily Beast, but which I think is going to be under federal indictment real soon at multiple levels. These people, for example, said recently that they wrote a hit piece on David Siemens, and they said that Siemens and his crew are completely, completely wrong for trying to arouse concern about a, quote, non-existent global child trafficking network.
Oh, God.
I am the chief counsel for a judicial commission of inquiry into a global child trafficking network.
They know.
tell you with 100% assurance exists.
Well,
that
I've had
to be held accountable for lying to the public.
Well, I've had even the internal people tell me it exists. I've had the, you know, FBI spokesperson say in public. I've had people, they cannot claim that.
At what point do you fire the editor of the Daily Beast for allowing that sentence, a non-existent global child trafficking network? At what point should that editor be fired and banned from ever working in any publication that serves the public?
Well, maybe he's part of it.
Of course he's part of it. I wouldn't be surprised if legal discovery finds that the editor and the key writers of the Daily Beast are receiving financial payments from companies like Media Matters. Okay, that will come out in a federal court at some point in the future. I don't want anything to do with it, but others will fight that fight. Eventually, I anticipate that the Daily Beast will be literally put out of business, just like that other outfit that was put out of business by Peter Thiel. Defamation is a very serious matter, and the laws have not caught up with the state of social media technology and the state of this very low rent journalism. I mean, the Daily Beast, in my view, it's not just yellow journalism; it's pus journalism. It's the absolute lowest form of life in the information sphere. So I think things are getting better, but defamation and telling lies to the public is something for which people are not being held accountable. Censorship, manipulation, and digital assassination, which is being practiced every single day by Facebook, by Amazon, by Facebook, by YouTube, by Twitter, by Wikipedia, this is not being held accountable under the law. Title VII in particular, discrimination. All of these outfits are subject to a massive Title VII discrimination lawsuit. And if I were president, I would have a RICO investigation going on against hashtag Google Gestapo and all of its elements.
Well, that being said, we're running out of time a little bit. So will you stay after and answer a question for my patrons?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
And tell people where they can get hold of your stuff and help your causes.
Well, it's not a question of helping my causes. I am focused on three things. Open source intelligence, which includes intelligence reform. I actually love the CIA, and I want the CIA to get healthy. 70% of the CIA, like 70% of everything else, has to be put out of business. But then I want to consolidate all the agencies into a new classified intelligence agency. And I will tell you, I support the confirmation of Gina as the new director of CIA for various reasons. But she has to make certain accommodations, and I think she knows what she needs to do. So robertdavidsteele.com is my personal website where everything I've written is online. I saw one moron who called me a conspiracy theorist and then said I was self-promoting. You know, how stupid do you have to be to call someone self-promoting when they're offering their life's work to the public for free? And then, of course, you've got phibetaiota.net, which is a free blog with over 800 contributors and no advertising. So those are the two main things. Unrigged.net is kind of a placeholder. I am fully anticipating that the Election Reform Act will be sponsored by one member of Congress, if not many more, sometime in the next 90 days.
That would be really great. Well, thank you so much for joining the program and giving us your insights on so many important issues.
Well, God bless you, Sarah. It's really great to see a business professor doing serious journalism.